Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's January the 29th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the Secretary of Energy says this nation may need to drop its ethanol tariff in order to meet demand. It looks like the Bush administration will release a farm bill proposal this week. And trade ministers have failed yet again to hammer out a deal giving U.S. producers more access to foreign markets. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And then I'll tell you about a series of Ag Econ workshops for farmers. They're coming up next month across the state of Illinois. And don't forget, at the bottom of there, we always check in on Mondays with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby March wheat at 456.5, down 7 cents for the day. May contract at $4.72, down 6. From the corn pit, the nearby March at $4, even a settlement price there, down 5.5. The May at 411.5, off 6. And July at 418.5, off 5.5. September futures 402.75, down 4.75. March soybeans 709.5 were off 1. May contract at 724.75, down a penny and a half. And July at 738.25, down 1.5 of the day. November beans at $7.63. They settled unchanged. March bean meal futures 206.40, down 60, rather up 60 cents. The March bean oil was off. It finished 18 lower at 28.82. From the Mercantile Exchange, March feeder cattle at 95.40. They were $1.30 higher for the day. February live cattle at $90.60, up 37.5, and the Aprils were off 17.5 at $93.40 a hundredweight. February lean hogs at $64 and a nickel, up 17.5 cents for the afternoon. Joining us on this Monday afternoon to take a look what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, as usually, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. He is away today. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities should be on the line with us. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, and I had trouble with it being Monday also.
Oh, I know. I don't know why exactly I had trouble with it being Monday, but maybe I just wanted it to be Sunday still.
Right.
So let's talk about this marketplace. There were a lot of $4 over the last couple of days when you look at the corn market. We've got more room to the upside yet?
I think we still do. I think time of the year and maybe a Monday after a weekend helped push it down. We did have good exports on beans this morning on the loadings, but they weren't very good on corn, and that might help pull it down a little bit. I think industry still thinks we're going to see new highs on the corn.
Run through what you heard on the Squawk Box about the losses today in the corn, down 5.5 cents in the nearby March, the December contract off as well.
And we were, 3 to 4, though, off the lows. So we did come back off the lows 4 cents in most contracts.
And you heard, what were they saying was just not any...
Nobody there to buy.
Nobody
Lack
there to
of
buy.
Buyers.
Yeah, so really
pretty
not
much.
Not much in the way of new news. And when lack of buyers doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go down anymore, just that there isn't anybody interested at this point and waiting for some fresh news, apparently.
And not great volume either, so... It was a down day, but it wouldn't surprise us to see it perk right back up. Going into February, sometimes we do go into a lull, but we're still looking to go long, and we did hold good support areas in the corn today.
Have you been successful as you talk to your traders and the farmers when you're talking about cash markets? Have you been very successful in coaching them to make cash sales on the new crop corn, and are you doing that, in fact, at this point?
I think we have been. I think last year people that sold ahead and had their marketing plan felt kind of poor at the end of the year, but that was 1 out of 30 years when that happens. 27 out of 30 years that marketing plan works, and I think we've got an awful lot of people out there, 30 or more percent, either with cash sales or protected, And I think a lot of people are protected clear up to 50, 60%. And I know some people have got cash sales in that 380 area up to the 50% mark. I don't know if that's too much or not, but I think you ought to be, you know, 25, 30% sold on new crop corn. And I think you ought to have at least another 25, 30% protected with puts.
So tell me how that plan would work. I know you just said protected with puts.
But well, exactly right, how do you now pull you it can off? Buy 360, 370 puts, very reasonable. If we bounce up 20 cents, I would be looking at buying 380 and 90 and maybe even $4 puts, and then let the top end open. And if we go to 5 or 550, like some people are saying, that end's open. You can make more sales up there. But if we go down, you're protected from whatever level you buy those puts at.
What do you think the risk is at this point? Is it simply that farmers will come out in the planting intentions report and we'll see a whale of a number? Is that where the risk really lies?
Well, there's people all over the place, but, yeah, that's part of it. Somebody today came out, or in the last day or two, came out with 10.5 million acres of more corn. If that happens, we could see $1.50 down on corn real quickly. If we're only at 6 to 8 million, like a lot of industry thinks now, we could see corn go back on up and make a new highs by, you know, another dollar.
And it's all a matter, really, I think, maybe of, and you talk about this, I know Kurt does as well, looking at not the dollar price on the Board of Trade, but the acreage and what your income might be.
Right. And if you take a look at 375, 380 corn times an average yield, you can lock in some awful profitable stuff. On a lot of your crop, we still think we've got the chances to, you know, 425, 450, even more on this new crop corn. And like Elwin Taylor came out and said it's going to be wet and cool spring. What will that do to corn prices if we don't have the great planting progress early? We've got all kind of factors out there that can push it either direction. And I'm looking at really, you know, five or higher on the top end, but I'm also looking at realistically 250 or 270 on the bottom side at the board.
Yeah, tell me about, have you got a range for the soybeans yet?
Soybeans, I don't. You know, if we really do plant 10 million or more acres of corn, how many acres less of beans is that going to be? And I think beans are the real sleeper on that side if we would plant that much corn. I think you could be, I still think six is probably a pretty good number on the low side, but the top side is just kind of wide open right now.
And have you been not willing to make sales of beans and you're
on
just
beans,
holding?
On beans, we probably got people 10% sold. I don't know if you need to be any percent sold. I still think this acreage report on the 30th of March could be really volatile and have everything going wild both directions and have a trap ready for the upside.
And then how does it all play out for the livestock producer yet? Prices
well,
holding?
Well, I tell you, it's kind of hard to feed $4 corn to a chicken or a hog or a cow, and so that's kind of hard to take right there. Hogs still have very good usage, so do cattle. But, I mean, the feedlots, if you're own a feedlot, I don't know how you're going to keep putting cattle in there and sell them and feed them $4 corn. Hogs, you know, exports are great. We had to, even cash was up some today. But again, it's hard to feed a hog $4 when you're getting 42 to 47 cents.
Anything else we need to talk about in the outside markets or otherwise before I let you go for the afternoon?
I think the crude oil, you know, we hit down close to the 50 and then bounced right back up to 55, and it's back down $1.50 today. I think that can either help support prices because of the energy sector, both the soybean complex and corn, or it can hurt.
Okay, we appreciate you being with us.
Thanks.
And that's Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He's filling in this afternoon for Kurt Kimmel, our usual Monday afternoon analyst. Kurt, of course, with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Pete and Kurt share an office place there in that fine Illinois city.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Well, at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. The folks there, the meteorologist, will help us take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Mike Solis says across this two-state region tonight, skies will be mostly cloudy. Some widespread snow showers this evening. Lows will range from 8 in far northwestern Illinois to 20 in the far southern part of Illinois. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, says Mike. Some scattered snow showers will continue, some flurries as well. Highs tomorrow will range from, get this, 16 in northwestern Illinois to near 30 in southeastern Indiana. Tomorrow, brisk winds will be common across the two-state region, as sustained winds will range between 10 miles an hour in the far south to 25 in those coldest parts of the northern Illinois. Gusts will reach around 30 miles an hour in northern and central sections during the afternoon. Many northern and central locations will remain below freezing for the entire week and possibly into next week. Daytime highs will be slightly below the seasonal averages in many areas through midweek, then well below average temperatures are expected through the weekend. Dave Dickey will be here in just a moment. He'll take a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, U.S. Energy Secretary Samuel Bodman says the U.S. may need to drop its tariff on imported ethanol for the country to meet the goals laid out by President Bush after his State of the Union address. Bodman made his remarks late last week before the World Economic Forum in Switzerland. The U.S. puts about a 54-cent a gallon tariff on imported ethanol. The tariff currently is set to expire on January 1, 2009. Washington sources are saying the Bush administration will release its recommendations for the 2007 Farm Bill this week. Sources say the release will contain detailed plans for U.S. farm policy. It's anticipated USDA Secretary Mike Johanns will promote the proposal nationwide upon release. As late as last week, Johanns continued to insist that the proposal would be far-reaching and propose substantial changes to U.S. farm policy. Meanwhile, over the weekend, House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson reiterated that Congress and not the Bush administration will write the Farm Bill.
There's pressure on us saying that we've got to change the Farm Bill because it's the only way we can get a trade deal. Well, I'm sorry. You know, I've had enough of these trade deals, okay? And unless we get something good out of this, I don't give a damn if we get one. And that's where agriculture is. You know, so,
and Peterson says he'd like to move away from ad hoc disaster aid payments.
The CBO score on the bill that I introduced came back with a huge number that we're never going to be able to afford, and so I'm just not exactly sure how we can do this, but we will look at that and see if there's some way that we can try to put a program together where if the Secretary declares a disaster, there would be a pot of money and they could make the payments and it would be in the law and everybody know where what the deal is and they wouldn't have to worry about whether Congress is going to pass something or not. If we can get that done, it would be a good thing.
Peterson made his comments to about 300 Arkansas producers over the weekend. South Korea says it will likely hold talks next month with the U.S. over Seoul's rejection of American beef shipments for containing banned bone fragments. South Korea reopened its border to U.S. beef shipments last October on a limited basis, but all three shipments sent since then were returned for containing tiny bone fragments. An agronomist with GrowMark thinks western corn rootworm could be a problem for Illinois producers in 2007. Kevin Black says cold conditions are not a factor.
Certainly an insect like the corn rootworm, western corn rootworm, is a constant presence with us in central Illinois. And that's one of the insects that I would not expect to see the cold weather impacting greatly, but based on high populations that we saw in some areas, I would anticipate that, again, if you had a high population in 2006, you probably will see fairly high pressure in 2007.
Black is an insect and plant disease technical manager with GrowMark. And trade ministers failed over the weekend to hammer out a deal that would both give U.S. farmers more access to foreign markets and at the same time limit some farmer subsidies. Trade ministers from 30 countries agreed to a series of further meetings with an unusual strategy. Finalize the technical details first and then concentrate on the broad issues of tariff and subsidy cuts. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find most of our daily program. You can listen to it after the fact if you'd like, or sign up for it as a podcast and have those MP3 files delivered directly to your computer. It's all at WILLAG.org. Well, up next, we'll hear about a series of workshops to help agricultural producers manage risk and make better financial decisions. They'll be offered in February and March by University of Illinois Ag Economists. These fast training workshops offer 2 one-day sessions on risk management and financial management, says Paul Ellinger, U of I Extension Farm Financial Management Specialist. You can attend one or both of the days. Exploring risk management and marketing strategies using FAST focuses on tools that help producers make crop insurance, grain marketing, and grain management decisions. Improving your financial management using FAST demonstrates how select tools can be used to prepare and evaluate farm financial statements, conduct cash flow planning, and access grain storage, real estate, and machinery investments. Ellinger says the FAST tools created by the U of I Ag Economist are a series of Microsoft Excel spreadsheets that help make various farm business decisions. Each of the February and March workshops begins at 9 and concludes at 4. The $45 registration fee covers the workshop and includes lunch and materials. There is a discount for attending both events. The price is $65. Registration is due 2 weeks prior to the workshop. Check out the FarmDoc website for complete details at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. Again, that's www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. Dates and locations for the workshops are February the 14th and 15th in Springfield at the Crown Plaza, February the 21st and 22nd in Urbana at the Holiday Inn, February 28th and March 1st in Rochelle at the Hickory Grove Banquet and Conference Center, and they'll wrap up in Mount Vernon at the Holiday Inn on March the 7th and the 8th. Again, for complete details on the FAST workshops, check out www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Time now for our look at the cash grain segment for the day on this afternoon. Wyatt Muse of the Andersons right here in Champaign County joins us. Good afternoon to you, Wyatt.
Hello, Todd. How are we doing?
I'm doing very well. You know, the last time I think you were on Commodity Week, you mentioned that these were great levels for producers to consider making sales of corn. I'd like you to defend that statement for me, please.
Agreed. This is still some of the highest prices we've seen for December futures ever in the history of trade. 394.5 the close of December today. We're still within 10 cents of all-time contract highs there, and anytime you can sell within 10 cents of the high, I stand by that it's a good sale. And I got to preface that with what we said on Commodity Week, and that was that you shouldn't get too aggressive with your 07 sales, but seems to be a good starting point if you haven't already.
I think on that date, your cash price was $3.72 for December. What is it today?
For fall delivery, we're $3.79.
Oh, so you told them to sell way too low, didn't you?
I would say
I'm
not.
Sorry.
We're within 6 to 7 cents of that. It's very hard to predict that.
I am sorry.
Well, that's okay. I mean, a 372 versus a 379 sale, it's very good money either way you slice it.
Indeed it is. And have farmers been talking to you about making sales and then following through?
Yeah. And a lot of guys have been sticking to their objectives. They say, you know where we want to sell at X and how many bushels to the acre we want to sell, and people have done an excellent job of standing by that. And I got to commend the farmers on actually sticking to their plan on a lot of this and not freezing up thinking, oh, it just has to go higher. And I'd say guys have done a decent job of selling. Now, I'm not saying that people have sold too aggressively. They've just got started.
As you in-house there talk about the cash basis, what kinds of discussions have you had surrounding the bases, how it might play out over the next several months?
Yeah, well, the theory is that bases is going to need to continue to get better, especially on the corn side, because the end users have really not bought their needs as they may have in the past when we've had cheaper prices. This all came pretty fast and furious, and guys are, when I say guys, I say the end users, the feeder market, as well as the processor. And the theory is that they're going to have to work hard to pull those bushels out of bins and out of commercial storage come this summer. Now, beans may be a slightly different story. We know there's a massive surplus of old crop beans out there, and if you look around at the processor bids, they're really not bidding up very much compared to what we've seen in past years. So I'd say we've got two stories here. Corn basis tends to get better, and beans look like they may kind of lag behind.
Well, let me ask you, since you mentioned this, because most of the corn, I think, or a lot of it, is already in the hands of commercials like yourselves or the elevators. Are you folks looking at that thinking basis is going to have to tighten up, and that's the way you're going to take advantage of the market then into the summertime with your storage facilities?
Well, that, and we've got a pretty decent carry in our cash bid. We've got right at 20 cents out to July in corn, and where are we at here? Probably closer to 40 cents in the beans, about 35 cents in the beans. Yes, I think that we will take advantage of basis improvement, but we've already got a fairly competitive cash bid for even today.
Mm-hmm. And then what are you telling producers about the soybean side? I know we're talking about corn, and they've got, you know, these higher levels, $3.79 on the cash price for the new crop. What do they do about soybeans at this point?
Well, a lot of guys are kind of holding off on beans. A lot of people like that $7 mark, and also people that follow that ratio, the corn-bean ratio inside of 2.0 is news that tends to make people a little bit more bullish beans. Now, we know there are a lot of beans out there in South America. Feels like they've been just about under a greenhouse as good of conditions as they've had. So I know there's isolated spots where there's been some crop problems, but for the most part, it sounds like we're going to have a pretty good South American crop. So I wouldn't want people to get a little too greedy with it, but storage has certainly paid up till now. I mean, keep in mind, we had a 13-cent LDP on beans about the 10th of October, so they've come a long way, and the storage has paid. But at what point you cut that off is up to you and up to your risk comfort level. Other thing to go back to on what you said about a lot of the grain already being in the hands of the commercials, about a week or so ago, I was reading through a report that talked about the amount of corn left under loan. This is under the government loan program. You guys have it in their bins at home, and that number's 900 and some odd million, close to a billion bushels, versus the projected carryout of right around 7.5. So keep in mind there that there's still a lot left in the farmers' hands, actually more than what the projected carryout is, and we've probably got to do some work. That's another reason the basis needs to improve to actually pull that out of on-farm storage.
Wyatt, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Quickly, your bids for the day?
Cash corn, $3.89. Fall, $3.79. Cash beans are $6.86. Fall delivery, $7.43. July wheat, $4.48.
We appreciate it.
Have a good one.
You too. Wyatt Muse is with the Andersons here in Champaign County. They join us on Monday afternoons to take a look at the cash grain market. In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago about the agricultural weather forecast for the day. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Lawyers for the Blagojevich administration say the case of two workers accused of breaking hiring rules should be about the employee's misconduct, not whether the governor was involved. Governor Blagojevich fired Don DeFrades and Michael Casey last year, accusing them of manipulating the state hiring process to help applicants with political connections. The two are now asking the state Civil Service Commission to overturn their firings. They say they follow the rules and that it was the governor's aides who were trying to pull strings for certain job applicants. Their hearing began today. In opening statements, government lawyer Joseph Gagliardo says the fired workers are just trying to blame others for their own misconduct. Carle Foundation Hospital has filed state papers to build a new 36-bed rehabilitation hospital on Champaign's northwest side. The Illinois Health Facilities Planning Board will decide if the need is sufficient for the $18 million specialized facility. Carle says it would keep more of its patients in the area and would more than double the number of beds the hospital can currently provide for people undergoing long-term rehab from stroke and other problems. The Champaign County YMCA will consolidate its two locations into a new facility on Champaign's southwest side. That means its 60-year-old home on Church Street will close, along with a more recent facility on Country Fair Drive. David Hood, who's overseeing the capital campaign to build the new Y, says it was a tough decision to leave the McKinley Family Center facility, which can be traced back to the Y's earliest days in the late 1800s. Governor Mitch Daniels wants the Indiana General Assembly to raise cigarette taxes by at least a quarter a pack to reduce smoking while raising money for health care coverage for more Hoosiers. But few lawmakers have so far warmed up to the idea. Republican Jeff Espick of Uniondale says passing a cigarette tax increase would be, in his words, a long row to hoe. He says he thinks the public doesn't like the idea of tax increases. Members of both parties support the goal of providing health coverage to Hoosiers who lack it, but are skeptical about raising taxes to do it. A new state law requiring Illinois homes to have carbon monoxide detectors is leaving some families scraping for the money to buy new ones. State Representative Naomi Jacobson and fire departments in Champaign and Urbana are asking people to donate new detectors at local stores. The detectors will go to low-income homeowners chosen by city neighborhood services departments. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic Farm Marketing is now holding a series of risk management seminars throughout Illinois and Indiana. Information on seminar dates and locations is available at sfarmmarketing.com or 800-383-0046.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. This is your agricultural information advantage. Meteorologist Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, joined us on the line today to take a look at the growing areas around the globe. Hi, Mark.
Hello there, Todd.
We'll come back to the really cold weather we're going to get here in the Midwest shortly, but let's start with South America. USDA lowered its USDA estimates from previous years to begin with. But they've got an awfully good crop on the table at this point. Tell me about it.
Yeah, certainly they've had very favorable weather conditions throughout their growing season, both in Brazil as well as down in Argentina. Even Uruguay and Paraguay have fared as well also. The reason for that is just that there's been abundant rainfall, and that began during planting both in Brazil and Argentina, and there's never really a let up here. In other words, we haven't really gone into any kind of extended dry spells across any area of Argentina or Brazil, or for that matter, really put on any kind of a significant heat for an extended period of time. So as a result, we've had almost stressless weather here, and that's a bode for very favorable crop prospects.
And if you look around the globe, tell me about other growing areas that we need to discuss.
Well, across the South Africa Corn Belt, those areas are seeing an unsettled weather pattern here, and that's helping to increase soil moisture as corn pollination continues across that area. And overall, it looks like crop prospects for the South Africa Corn Belt are in good shape. We're also monitoring here at least some of our cold here that's moving down into areas such as the U.S., but also Europe is turning colder, especially the eastern areas in the former Soviet Union. At this time, we don't see any threatening cold or anything to cause winter kill damage for the crops in those areas here. But certainly with the more wintry pattern here in the heart of winter, that's something you always got to keep on monitoring.
It sure looks like somebody opened the window to Canada, and now we're going to get a whole lot of cold air here in the Midwest.
Yeah, Todd. Well, not only opening up the window to Canada, but Siberia as well here. And we're seeing some of this Arctic air that's going to be actually moving in later on this week of Siberian origin. And that's, the coldest temperatures of the winter here, and coming straight down on snow-covered surfaces here. So we're going to see temperatures well below normal. Obviously, we'll be below zero here across a good chunk of the Midwest for minimum temperatures. And at least from an agricultural standpoint, though, nothing looks really threatening, at least to cause any kind of winter crop damage.
Siberian wind just sounds cold when you say it, doesn't it? So how long will we be withstanding these kind of cold temperatures?
Well, Todd, it looks like this pattern here is going to be in place over the next couple of weeks. And so with that, we're going to see numerous surges of Arctic air, sort of what we've already seen already here, but the strongest air masses of the winter so far are on tap here over the next couple of weeks, with really the coldest period coming up from late this week on through the early portion of next week, kind of during that 6 to 10 day time frame. With then after that, you know, still continued below normal temperature profile, just not as extreme as what we're going to be seeing here later on this week.
We appreciate you being with us today, Mark.
Well, my pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy out of Chicago, Illinois. Somebody joins us from that office each and every Monday afternoon, and that is today's closing market report. Remember, you can hear today's futures analysis, the cash grain report, the weather, all right there on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a great afternoon. Bundle up. I'm Todd Gleason.